Thank you, Brother Cruz. Aren't you glad in Christ you stand redeemed? Amen. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb, God's Son. Appreciate the good special this morning. Well, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of John. I could have read this from all the Gospels, and I would encourage you to read the story from all the Gospels as you get the whole details, all the truth that's in the setting. John chapter 19, I'm going to probably read about 18 verses. I'm going to speak a little bit on the subject this morning that you'll see in the text. I'm going to speak to you some on the subject this morning, mob rule. And you'll see the mob here in the text. John 19, verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. You ought to count the times Pilate says that. Find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Then the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him. They cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? You see, Pilate suspected he was from somewhere else, amen? Scared him when he heard that he made himself the Son of God. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Then Pilate therefore heard that, when he heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. Some of you have been over there, you can still see that spot of pavement. But in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. You know, we have a mob here crying out to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking around today and wherever across the world. Now, I'm not against peaceful demonstrations. I'm not against the cause being represented. But looking around the world today, you're seeing a lot of mob rule. Your TV is full of it. You see those folks that we're giving tax money to, burning the American flag, stepping on it, and all of that. And sad to say, we're beginning to pick up on this sort of thing in America today. There's a group out there that uses every excuse to riot, to break in, to steal, to do damage. in the Wall Street occupation when they had the cameras on them up there. Sometimes the reporter would go to some of them in the streets and say, "What's your cause? What do you want? They didn't even know. They just knew, here's a rowdy crowd. We can get in it. We can steal, and we got an excuse to break in and to do all this bad stuff." And so they were running into rights and all of this business, just using it for an excuse. I hear now Florida's being threatened with a boycott by movie stars and rock artists. I thought about that. I thought, you mean those decent characters from Hollywood? Those wholesome people that's influencing our kids? They're going to boycott our state? Good. Good. Amen. What a joke. Rock artists coming in with their filthy pollution they call music, and the dope scene and the fornicating scene and all of that business. Yes, it'd be a wonderful thing if they'd boycott us. And help yourself if you don't think so. But a mob is often wrong. Now, we've all seen enough little cowboy westerns and known of some stories. You've heard of a lynch mob, right? Do you understand where that got started? There was a fellow in the colonial days before the Revolutionary War, when the King of England was pressing us with extra taxes, and there was a fellow by the name of Lynch in the colonial days that went around from one colony to another, from one community to another, and he was a representative of the king collecting taxes in the colonial days of America. And the people finally got fed up with him, and he came into a certain community and they strung him up. They hung him. And that's where the word lynch comes from. That was his name. So today, when you hear about a lynch mob, just remember it was IRS inspired. Now, I'm joking a little bit. It was the king's IRS. But the IRS ought to pay attention today, brother. I mean, with all they're doing to us, folks are finally getting fed up with that kind of junk. And they ought to be getting fed up with it. But that was where the lynch mob name came from. And yet today we look around and we're seeing today that all of a sudden, who can get the biggest crowd, the loudest crowd in the street, can have their way. And it shouldn't be that way, folks. Now, our text here is the best example of the worst injustice ever done by a mob. Mob rule is wrong. I agree with the president this week when he said violence was wrong, and that he'd be watching to see the violence in these demonstrations. By the way, yesterday and I guess today, there's supposed to be 100 cities that had a crowd or a rally. And he said he'd be watching for the violence. I agree with Charles Barkley. You know who he was. He's a basketball star, remember? Charles said this thing with the Zimmerman case. He said that it was based on the facts, and then he said this. He said, "I blame the news media for bringing the race question into it." And I appreciate Charles Barkley having the courage to say that, because that's exactly the truth. Sad thing. Too bad a young man lost his life. I hate that, but at the same time, everything that goes wrong in this country cannot be blamed on race and solved by a mob in the streets. Mob rule is wrong. I'll tell you why it's wrong. It's wrong because it ignores the facts most of the time, ignores the truth most of the time. I'm going to date you now. You remember the old black and white TV show when TVs were just first getting in homes? There was a TV show called Dragnet. Anybody remember that? You remember when they would knock on the door, those two law officers, when they'd knock on the door, they'd say, "Ma'am, all we want is the facts." Just the facts. And by the way, just the facts. The truth is what is still most important. Amen? And here, this mob crying out to crucify Jesus, they were ignoring the facts. I mean, Jesus had only done good. In John 10, chapter 10, Jesus said, "My Father and I are one." He talks about knowing his sheep and giving his sheep eternal life. And in John chapter 10, the Jews pick up stones to stone him. And Jesus said, "For what good work do you stone me?" The truth is, they couldn't stone him. He was predicted to be crucified, and he was. But he said, "For what good work?" In other words, he went around doing good, not bad. He didn't deserve stoning. He didn't deserve crucifying. He was not trying to overthrow Rome like they were accusing him of. That was not the truth. In fact, remember when they brought him a coin, talking to him about taxes? They brought him a coin, and he said, "Whose inscription's on the coin?" And they said, "Well, Caesar's." He said, "Well, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that be God's." And so he was not trying to overthrow the government. He was not trying to be a king. They were accusing him of that. But he said in John 18 and verse 36, if you want to look at it right over there, Jesus answered. Pilate said, "Am I a Jew?" He said, "Thine own nation, the chief priest, have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." He wasn't trying to take Rome's kingdom. That was a false accusation that was making they were making against him. He didn't even dodge paying taxes. Let me give you a little proof on that. Go with me to the book of Luke, if you would. Flip back over the book of Luke, and you'll find it quick as me. I don't have it marked either. Luke chapter 23, you'll find where the question of the tax thing came up. Isn't it amazing? Even back in the days of the Lord Jesus on this earth, they had to deal with taxes. Luke 23, pick it out in about verse 2. "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidden to give tribute,'" that's tax, "forbidden to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." That was not true. You remember when Peter came to the Lord and the tax agent had caught up with Peter and said, "Does your master pay taxes?" And Peter put his foot in his mouth and said, "Well, yes." And you remember he brought that to Jesus, and you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, "Did they tax strangers or just the children?" And Peter said, "Strangers." By the way, they'll tax anybody. Ronald Reagan said, the government says, if it moves, tax it. If it quits moving, subsidize it. He's pretty well right. But you remember the story where Peter came to the Lord about the taxes? What did the Lord tell him to do? Remember what he told him to do? Go put a hook in the water and pull up the first fish? Anybody remember that? Ever read that in your Bible? All right, I'm you with me this morning. First fish that come up, you'll find a piece of money in his mouth. Take it out and give it to him from both you and me, Peter. And Peter did. The first fish he pulled up had the money in his mouth. He paid the taxes. By the way, you go over to Israel today, you go over there on the Sea of Galilee, they got a restaurant there, side the Sea of Galilee, and you go in there and you order fish, and that's about all they'll serve you anyway. But you go in there and they bring you out a fish. I've been there. It's a big one. It looks like a cross between the biggest speckled perch and a bass that you ever see, and it'll cover the platter. Big old fish. And by the way, when they cook them over there, they leave the head on them. And I had trouble eating that fish because his eye was on me all the time. But you know what his name is? I asked the guide, I said, what's kind of fish? I wanted him to say perch or bass or something I recognize. He said, it's a St. Peter fish. A St. Peter fish. See, they've nicknamed the fish over the incident where Peter caught him and he had a piece of money in his mouth to pay the taxes. Till this day, you go in there and you eat a St. Peter fish off the Sea of Galilee there. But they were accusing Jesus of dodging his taxes. He was not dodging his taxes. It was a false charge. I'm saying to you, when the mob goes crazy, they ignore the truth. They ignore the facts. And that's what you had in this case right here. Mob rule also intimidates the political power. So what do you mean? Well, look at it, and I read it a while ago. Look in chapter 19. Pick it up with me in verses 12 and 13. It says, "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him." He wanted to let him go free. He was innocent. "But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend.'" Hey, that's political. That's political. Political pressure. "Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Jesus was not making himself a king. He is God's king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But he was not trying to be the king in Caesar's place. But the interesting thing here is it put the pressure on Pilate. Pilate was a politician. Pilate knew he was being forced to do wrong, but he gave in to it here. And it says in the next verse, verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying. What saying? That he wouldn't be Caesar's friend. See, that's a political thing. So he brought Jesus forth. He went along with him because he had the political pressure put on him. Pilate knew better. If you were to go all the way back to same story in Matthew chapter 27, you'd pick up a real truth here. Pilate knew, the scripture says, why they brought Jesus to him. In Matthew 27, you pick it up in verse 18, for he, speaking of Pilate, knew that for envy they had delivered him. For what? Envy. Yeah, the religious leaders, they couldn't match what he was doing. They couldn't match him when they tried to trip him up in his words. They were against him every way they could be. And Pilate, we'd call him a lost man. He was a pagan, to say the best. He knew this was a setup. He knew it was crooked. He knew it was wrong. He knew for envy that they delivered him. You know, in America, under our Constitution, we have, of all governments, the greatest experiment in man's history, I guess. That is to have a constitution and a democracy as it's been set up. And you know what it's based on? It's based on the rule of law, and it's based on justice, get me close, being blind. How many of you ever seen the picture of the scales? Seen that? And Lady Justice has got on what? A blindfold. You understand that? So what does that mean? That means it don't matter what your name is, how wealthy you are, or how poor you are, or what color you are, or anything else, justice is not supposed to take any of that into consideration. She's blind. She can't see that. She's supposed to give you a fair deal, even justice. And that's the way it's supposed still to be. Here the mob, though, was misinformed concerning Jesus. Now, I want to say to you today, our media today, I again agree with Charles Barkley, our media does not have clean hands. There's some of them that are trying, but there's some of them just going to put their own spin on it, their own slant on it, trying to bring it to the outcome they want it to come to. You have NBC that doctored the tape in the Zimmerman situation. And you have that sort of stuff. It's wrong. That's not a fair balance. That's not fair justice. And as I see here, I see the mob intimidated, the political power intimidated at Herod, and the mob itself was misinformed. And how does that work? Let me tell you, when you've got a group on the street, you always got a few cheerleaders in the crowd. You got a few, just like there was in the mob here when they were crying to crucify Jesus, the scribes and the priests were going around telling the mob what to say and what to holler. It still works that way. I hate to say it, folks, but we all have a tendency to have a herd mentality, to follow the leader even over the cliff. Do you ever see any of those History Channel programs where the wildebeest go migrate? Raise your hand if you do. And they come to the river, and they come to the river, and they finally follow the leader in, and the crocodiles eat them up. Anybody ever seen that? Come on. The truth of the matter is we're all a little bit like the wildebeest. Somebody sets themselves up to lead us, and oftentimes it's a Judas goat doing the leading. And yet we are a herd mentality. We go right on over the cliff, right on into the river, right on into destruction. And I want to say to you, that's not God's plan for you. You ought to be a free thinker. You ought to be able to make decisions on your own. And America, of all nations, have given us the freedom to be our own thinker and make our own decisions. And that is something we don't want to lose. But you see, the mob mentality will cost you that if you're not careful. The mob mentality here that gathered to crucify Christ, they were destroying the religious truth. Let me get you to look at something quickly with me here. This was Passover time. And this was the biggest feast of Israel time. I mean, the Passover, a wonderful religious truth. Here's the Roman governor. Here's Pilate. He knew something about it because he knew something about the Jewish stuff, but he also saw the hypocrisy in their religion. And the mob mentality will give you religious hypocrisy at its worst today. Look in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, pick it up in verse 28 through about verse 30. We're right here, John 19 is what I read to you. Go back to John 18. Pick it up with me in John chapter 18 and look at it in verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment. It was early. Watch it now. It was early, early in the morning. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall. Now, who is this? This is the religious Jews. This is the scribes and Pharisees. They didn't go into the judgment hall. Why? Here it is. Lest they should be defiled. Do you see the verse? That they might eat the Passover. Now, get the picture of it. Here's some fellows railroading an innocent man. I mean, in a sense, they're fixing to lynch an innocent man. Yet they're concerned that if they walk into this pagan judgment hall, this Gentile judgment hall, that they will be defiled where they cannot sit down and eat the Passover. Hypocrisy at its peak. Now, did Pilate miss that? He didn't miss that. He didn't miss that at all, because they had to get him up early. They had to say, Governor, these scribes and Pharisees, they want an audience with you. They want to see you, but they'll be defiled if they come into your house. You got to go out in the street and meet them. That wasn't lost on the governor, the hypocrisy of it. Notice here in verse 30, he comes out and says, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Now see, Pilate sees the hypocrisy of it. I want to tell you today, when it comes to the truth of God's word, when it comes to the truth of true religion, Christianity today, we better be careful we don't follow the mob, that we don't desecrate that is important and become hypocritical in it. I look here and I see some things. Mob rule is wrong because it ignores the facts. It intimidates the political power for wrong. And then here's what it does when it makes a bad decision. It invokes the wrath of God Almighty. God says in the Bible, he hates a false balance. In other words, if it's rigged, if the man puts his thumb on the scale when he's weighing you out a pound, God says, if he cheats you, I hate that. I hate a false balance. He wants truth, and it invokes the wrath of God. You see, in Matthew 27, if you read this whole story, you'd find Pilate trying to wash his hands in a basin, trying to say, I'm innocent. I'm going to wash the blood off my hands of this innocent man. Hey, by the way, he couldn't do that. You can't either. And I can't either. But he tried. Innocent blood. He did this in front of that Jewish leadership. You know what they said? He said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. They said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And brother, has it ever been? They placed a curse upon themselves. It was fulfilled very immediately. The city of Jerusalem in AD 70, 30 years later, is brought down to the ground. I mean, it's a desperate time. It's an awful time. And all the death and all that took place, God's judgment, God's blood, was the blood they said, let it be on us. It was on them. And you read the history of the Jew. It's a sad history. Look, somebody said, well, would God punish them? Let me say this to you. Let me tell you something. God don't have to bring bad on you. All he's got to do is just step back and let the devil get you. And he will. God can, you might not know it, but God, it restrains much of the evil that would come your way. And you are under his protection and umbrella. And when you ask him to leave, when the 9/11 came and the planes flew into the towers, and a lot of folks said, well, where was God? I like what the daughter of Billy Graham said when she said, America invited God out and he was being a gentleman and just staying back. Good point. Good point. He didn't restrain it. He let it happen. Yes, we need God all the time. We don't realize how much evil he restrains off of us all the time. But you look at the history of the Jew. From the Holocaust, I went over to Israel, went in the Holocaust Museum, and I couldn't hardly get out of it. They kind of fussed at me on the bus when everybody else went back. I just hung in there. Hey, it got a hold of me to look at those pictures, real pictures of real people that were burned in the ovens. Families and kids standing there holding on to mama and dad and being ushered into those ovens. An awful thing, but I want to say to you, in a sense, Israel predicted their future when they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And history has borne that out. See, Pilate, though, had to make a decision. Every man has to make a decision. You're here today, midst of summer with our crowd down. You may be listening on the radio, but like Pilate, God's not overlooking you. You've got to make a decision concerning Jesus. Everybody has to make a decision concerning Jesus. What kind of decision have you made? Well, Pilate made the wrong one, didn't he? Oh, yes, he made the wrong one. Why did he make the wrong decision? He didn't want to. He wanted to release him, but he listened to the mob. And the mob was distorting the truth. And the mob didn't have the facts. And the mob influenced Pilate. Influenced him personally. Influenced him politically. Oh, he didn't want anybody to go to Caesar and say, well, you know what? I voted to let this man go. And they say he was against you. No. He wasn't going to do that. He had to be politically correct, which is killing us today, isn't it? Oh, no, they said, you couldn't be Caesar's friend if you let this man go. What was the result? God's wrath was the result. You know, if you check history, Pilate didn't die in peace. They say he went nuts. He went crazy. He went insane because he couldn't get away from this decision he'd made. His wife had warned him, have nothing to do with that just man. He realized that he's not from thence. He's from somewhere else. He was scared to death, but he went ahead with the mob, and he went ahead with the political correctness, and he made the wrong decision, and he tried to wash the blood off his hands, but he couldn't. And history tells us he went insane. They say that he'd go out at night in the moonlight to a little, what you and I'd call a creek, a stream of water, behind where he lived. And the people would see him go down there and bend on his knees and try to wash his hands in that stream of water and cry out and scream. He went nuts because he made the wrong decision. He couldn't do anything about it. Stole his peace. Let me ask you this morning, have you got peace over the decision you've made concerning Jesus? You know why Pilate made the wrong decision? The mob. The political correctness. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you making your decision concerning Jesus because of the mob you run with? Say, preacher, I don't run with a mob. I'm talking about your office employees. I'm talking about your schoolmates. I'm talking about the laborers you work with on the job. I'm talking about relatives. Yeah, in a sense, that's a mob. I mean, that's a group. Are you going with a herd mentality, with what they say? Are you afraid to confess Christ as your Savior because what family is going to say, what friends, what co-workers are going to say? Then you're no better off than Pilate. He was influenced wrongly by a mob, so are you being, if you're making the wrong decision concerning Jesus. Oh, you say, but there'd be a little stigma on that if I was a good Christian around the folks I know. I think you're saying that's political correctness, right? That's what influenced Pilate. I mean, would it be politically correct for folks where you work, where you live, where you go to school, to know you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm saying to you the same things that influenced Pilate to make a wrong decision are still influencing people today to make the wrong decision. And no more than he could get the blood of Jesus Christ off his hands, neither can you. Neither can you. I challenge you this morning, if you've never received Christ, God's only begotten, like they were singing about, you got a decision to make. Radio land here in this building, you've got a decision to make concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What have you done? What have you decided? What have you done with Jesus? You know, Pilate says here in the text, not the one I read, but in the other gospel, Matthew 27, I believe, he says, "What shall I do with Jesus that is called the Christ?" What shall I do? Not what your neighbor's going to do or your friend, but what shall I do with Jesus that is called the Christ? Can you answer the question? What have you done? Who have you listened to? Who are you following? My prayer this morning, if you've never confessed Christ as your Savior, that you'd do it. He died for your sins. He paid for them on the cross. He shed his blood. The only covering for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what he did for you on the cross. Now, are you willing to confess him as your Savior? Trust him, and not your church membership or something else, but just him and him alone. I pray.